Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Kuv Zayin. We're in Kuv Vav Amud Beis. We're finishing up from yesterday's daf. Just a quick detour in the Gemara regarding how people get paid. When I say people, I'm talking about people working the Beis Hamikdash, people educating and crafting the skills of Kohanim in terms of shechting, doing ketores, and other avodas that are done in the Beis Hamikdash. So those people who are teaching them how to do it, so they're going to get paid, and their payment is going to be coming from Trumas Alishka. So yesterday we did a little bit of Shkalim here in Ksuvos in terms of basically funding the Beis Hamikdash and trying to make distinctions between operational costs and capital costs and temple upkeep. So anything that has to do with the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, so that's coming from general donations, what's called Bedek HaBayis. On the other hand, when it comes to operations, our operations comes from Machatzis HaShekel. And specifically, when the Machatzis HaShekel is collected, put into the Lishka, it's put into a chamber, and then there's going to be a withdrawal done three times a year. And that withdrawal is what's described as a Trumas HaLishka. And so we know that Karbonos are brought from Trumas HaLishka. And anything Avoda related is going to come from Trumas HaLishka. And then yesterday, for half of the daf yesterday, for Kuv Vav Amud Beis, it really started in the bottom of Kuv Vav Amud Aleph, so the Gemara discussed, what about the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash? So is that more temple fund? Is that more structural? Or is that something more avoda related? Okay, so it's somewhere in the middle. And as you can imagine, that's what we did yesterday. So machlokus between the Amoraim, Rav and Ravuna, in terms of where it's going to be, where's the money's coming from. Good. So that's what we covered yesterday. Tanaihi. So we're going to pick it up in the Gemara. We are basically at the bottom half of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to note. I know we did this little piece of Gemara yesterday. We're just going to take a couple steps backwards. Gemara is going to note that this is a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. So Dinan Moser Truma. Okay, so what happens now when I have Moser Truma? In other words, so I did a withdrawal from the Truma Salishka, and so obviously it's going to go primarily for avoda, for operations, for the carbon seaboard. So that part we know. But now what happens if there is residual? There's surplus. So what do I do with that Moser Truma? So Mayo Sambariku is of Tipula Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Tanakama, what's going to happen is that it's going to be transferred over to gold, and the gold is going to be used as plating for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim was lined inside, plated with gold. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Moser Peros, Lekeitz Mizbeach. Now, if I have Moser Peros, I have surplus from Peros, and in a moment we're going to explain what that means. So that, what does that go to? Keitz HaMizbeach. Keitz HaMizbeach, a term that we hear all the time throughout Shas, and basically in the slow times of the year, when there's not a lot of karbanos going on, obviously there's the Karban Tamid, the Shoshach and Shobein Arbaim, but after that there's not much going on. So then what they do is they supplement with this particular fund. So this fund is drawn from Moser Peros. Again, we're going to explain what that means momentarily. So with the surplus, so you're gonna buy karbanos for the slow time of the year. Moser Truma, L'Kli Sharis. So, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, what do I do with Moser Truma? Not like the Tanakama, but according to Rabbi Shmuel. So it's gonna be used for Kli Sharis. So again, so right over here, this is it. So the Gemara is pointing out that there's a Tanus of the position that Kli Sharis is gonna be funded with Truma Salishka. Okay. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Moser Truma, Keitz HaMizbeach. And according to Rabbi Kiva, Moser Truma is for Keitz HaMizbeach, meaning here Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. And he's of the position that Moser Truma is going to go towards and be applied towards Keitz HaMizbeach, meaning it's got to go to Karbanos. You can't use it for Kli Sharis. And most of the Nesachim, the Kli Sharis. So where am I getting the money for the Kalim? So what I'll get it from is a different fund, Moser Nesachim. So we have surplus from Nesachim. So there are a couple terms over here which need definition. Most are Paris and most are Nesachim. We're going to give definition to both of them. And Rabbi Chanin is going to call him Omer most are Nesachim L'Keitz HaMizbeach, most are Trumal Kli Sharis. And Rabbi Chanin is going to call him, is quoted as saying that the most are Nesachim is going to go towards those additional Karbanos, and most are Trumal is going to go to Kli Sharis, Vizeh. Both according to Rabbi Kiva and according to Rabbi Chanin is going to call him Lo Yamodim Paris. They would not agree with Paris, meaning they did not believe that it was a fund. It wasn't a fund. Okay. Obviously, all this needs a little bit more explanation. True of the matter is the Gemara is not going to dwell on this too long. The Gemara is just a couple more lines. So, Peros Maihi. So, there's this fund called Peros. Okay. And as we just learned together, some people are of the position, it's not even a fund. Okay. So, what is this revenue stream of Peros? It's a fair question. So Detanya Moser Truma, Mayu Osimba. So Lochim Paris Bazal, Mochin Osabioker, Vaskarma Kitsim Osam is Bach, Vizushanin, and Moser Paris Kitsim is Bach. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says, look, you have Moser Truma. Okay, so what do I do now when we have an operational account and we did our withdrawals and it comes out now that we have some extra money, right? Moser Truma. So what do I do with that? What do I do with that surplus? Okay. So every institution should have this problem. So, right. So the Bryce over here says, that there is a position that here's what you do with it. And that is capitalize on it. In other words, you take the excess money and, you buy, you sell, right. And, you capitalize on the money. You make a little bit more money. And then what you do is, then what you do is you spend it on carbonos. So the, fine. So that is, if you subscribe to this idea that this is a new revenue stream that's created from the surplus money, where basically what you do is that you capitalize, you make money with it. And then you use that new revenue stream to buy more carbonos. So my zevazel all
you. Always make money. Always buy cheap.
Okay. Oh, so perfect. Now, Phil, you set us up. So my zevazel all you bonim beperos. Now, what does it mean now that Rabbi Kiva and Chanina's gonna kohanim, they don't agree to this revenue fund? So now, as we're going to clarify, what they don't agree to is this idea that don't take the surplus money and start trying to capitalize it, because look, when you capitalize, so sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. Did not Moser Shayar Lishka Mayosim Balukim Baham Yenushaman Slasos Vaskala Hektishiv Rabbi Shmuel. So here in this Brisa, so Rabbi Shmuel says, hey, no, that's exactly what you do. You capitalize. And Rabbi Kiva Omer in Bistakrin. Bishal Hektish Af Lo Bishel Bishalaniyim. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, don't play around. Don't play around with the monies, neither of the Beis HaMikdash nor with Aniyim. In other words, let's say the Gabbai's collecting, and now, good, so he's got a lot of money. And what a great idea, right? Imagine, by the way, somebody coming along thinking for the first time in history, he had this great idea. Look, we got a lot of money, and it's for the poor. Why don't we generate some more money with this money? And then we'll have even more money for the poor. Well, what a great idea. So, Bishal Hektish, my time, low, ain't any is b'makam Mashir. So, first of all, as far as Hektish is concerned, so it's a philosophical issue. Okay. Philosophy is not really the right word, but it's a hashkafic issue. And that is that the Beis HaMikdash is a makam Mashiris. And so what you're not going to do with the money of the Beis HaMikdash is that you're not going to basically say, look, right, everything is so tight over here and wouldn't it be great if we could just simply squeeze a couple more dollars out of the money? And that's not what you do by Makom Hashiras. Meaning if you're a Makom Hashiras, so what you do is that you don't try to squeeze out every penny out of the dollar. And Vishalaniya, my time alo, Doma Misraim, Leaniya, Velekale, Mesvale. And what's wrong with investing money of the of tzedakah? So it's funny. If you ask me, I tell you what's wrong with it, and that is you may not be a good investor, and you may not know how to capitalize, and you may lose the money. So the inherent risk is an issue, which I'm sure that's a consideration. But the Gemara says it's something even more pragmatic, and that is that you know why you collect tzedakah money? Because they're aniyim. And so what's going to happen is that if you tie up all that money in investments, and now money's going to come to you, and you're right. They're right. You need the ability to just simply distribute the money at any given point in time, and you can't tie up the money in investments. Okay, good. All right, Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf, and we are continuing. We are now in the Gemara Mishalach LeMedina Siyam, bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, and we are officially starting today's daf. Okay, today's daf is very, very focused. We got one topic and only one topic to discuss for today's daf. Say, as far as the daf is concerned, like perfect. Perfect for the daf yomi. Misha Allah Medina Siyam. So you remember the Mishnah, right? It's the first Mishnah of the 13th Perek. So the husband went AWOL. Okay. I don't know what happened to him. He went away. And now the wife is coming to Beis Din with a simple request. I'm married. My husband is obligated to support me. He went away. I don't know when he's coming back. I need mizonos. He's got assets. He's got properties. So he owes me the money. He's indebted to me the money. He's obligated to pay. So can you help? And of course, Basin's going to help out. Now, in our Mishnah, what was the only issue? And that is that when she collects and when they make a distribution of his assets towards her mizonos, does she make a shua? Yes or no? That's the only thing that we were litigating in the Mishnah. Machlokus amongst the Tanayim, right? The Mishnah is starting on Kuf Dalam Adbeis, going to the top of Kuf Hamad Aleph. And so the position of Chanan, as we saw back in the Mishnah, is that she doesn't make a shvua, right? Chanan amar shnei devarim. Chanan told us two things. We've yet to get to the second thing of Chanan that's coming up. But meanwhile, number one is she doesn't make a shvua. So, and what would the shvua be if she made it? The shvua would be, I haven't collected any money yet for my mizonos. Okay, good. And then she'll get paid. Chanan says there's no need to do so. According to Chanan, what do? You give her the money for the mizonos. And then later in time, if in the event she collects her ksuva, then she'll make a shvua. Besof. Okay. Other time, I argue with Chanan in terms of whether or not she should or should not make a shvua, but from the Mishnah, what's clear is that Beis Din is going to go ahead and collect from his assets towards her mizonos. That part's clear. Itmar. As much as we just went over the Mishnah and what seems to be a resoundingly clear conclusion from the Mishnah, meanwhile, Itmar. Rav Amar post mizonos leishas ish. So Rav says, here's what you're going to do. And that is that in the event that the husband goes away and she needs to be supported, she needs to be fed, so Beis Din is going to go down Rashi, top Rashi in the Amud. Beis Din yordan l'nechse misha alach l'medinas yam uposkim mizonos leishto. So Beis Din is going to do exactly what we just described. Now, after having learned a Mishnah, Rav doesn't seem to be a chiddush at all. In fact, who's going to even argue with Rav? That's called the setup. So and back to the Gemara. Shmuel amar ein poskim mizonos leishas ish. And Shmuel says, no, ein poskim mizonos. Meaning that if her husband went away and we don't know what happened and she wants mizonos, so Shmuel's of the position, okay, but we're not going to start selling off his assets. Now, first and foremost, there's obviously a lot to discuss over here, but meaning what about our Mishnah? Meaning our Mishnah makes it pretty clear exactly what to do. So hold that thought. We're going to come back to our Mishnah. Okay. So meanwhile, Shmuel's position seems to be a little bit strange. Meaning, the husband's gone. He owes her mizonos. That's part of his marital obligation towards her. And she wants to be supported. You're not going to collect for her. Okay. So let's go on in the Gemara. Because the Gemara is really going to help us frame and shape this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And over the course of today's daf, all we're going to do today, one thing and one thing only, and that is we're going to be litigating this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Which of the positions seems to be a more defensible position? So the Gemara goes on. Amr Shmuel modeli abba, b'shush ha-chadashim rishonim, l'fi she'en adam inech beso reikon. So here, first of all, right, Shmuel, every time he describes Rav, he calls him Abba. Okay, either because that's his name or it's a term of respect and reverence. Either way. So here's where Rav would agree to me. Those first 3 months after he went away, immediately after he left, she starts asking for mizonos. We're not gonna start dipping into his assets and selling off of his properties. We assume that he left the house not empty. The cupboard was not bare when he left the house. At least 3 months of provisions were left before he went away. Why specifically 3 months? I don't know. But anyway, but that's what we assume. And certainly Shmuel says Rav wouldn't disagree with me about those first 3 months. Okay, so and on top of that, let's say that what we hear is reporting that he died. There's no debate as well. So keep pleading. And by the way, I'm sorry. And this is important. And when he hears that he dies, so why is there no debate? So once again, I go back to Rashi over here. The poskin, obviously under those circumstances, the husband went away. Rumors now have come back, not rumors, but reporting has come back that he died. So there we're gonna sell off his assets. And as Rashi points out over here, Delamai Nechushla, Ilitz Sarare Hare Sofa Lagavas Ksuva, Vitishava Shalik Vamishlam Klum. Now, what are you worried about? Her grabbing some money before he died? Well, look, in other words, she's entitled right now to mezonos and ksuva, if in fact her husband died. So fine. So worst case scenario is that she took some money, but remember, even according to Hanan, she's going to be making a shvuah b'sof. And again, back in the good old days, shvuahs usually were enough of a motivation that people will not take things that don't belong to them. Okay. Let's say they made an agreement that she's going to keep her earnings and he doesn't have to support her. So the mishameis, but once he's dead, she no longer has to provide her earnings to him. And meanwhile, she's entitled to mezonos. V'im tomer. Now Rashi points out over here, wait one second. So the reporting is that he died. And so now she no longer, she no longer has to give the Maaseh Adayim to him, and therefore she is rightfully in the correct in demanding her mezonos. So Rashi points out over here, what about the kids? Right? Remember, we already established, we've gone over this point a couple of times, and that is that her Maaseh Adayim need to go to the Yisomim. Ah. V'im tomar havarehum v'shabes Yisomim. V'avhim yomru lakein. So what about the Yisomim? So Rashi says, no. Afhu lahaya yachol lomar la ella im kain he misratza. Remember, when it comes to a husband and wife relationship, so what they could do is that they could decline on the exchange, but only if she agrees. In other words, the exchange of mezonos maaseh adeha, her earnings go to him, his mezonos go to her. That's true, and in other words, that's the obligation, and it's true it can be declined, but only if she's interested in declining it. Now, when it comes to the Yisomim, so you can't make such an agreement. But meanwhile, you can make that agreement between husband and wife. Okay. So anyway, so what comes out over here is the following: is that in the first 3 months after he left, so for sure he did not leave the home empty, and therefore Shmuel says Rav agrees with me. And in the event that reporting comes back that he died, certainly Beis Din is going to be Yori Linechasov and provide mezonos for her as she's entitled to do so. And once the reporting is that he died, so then she's entitled to mezonos. And no argument over there. So keep pliga b'shalosh shama bo shemeis. So the entire machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is he went away. We don't know where he is. No reporting that he died. And now what? So Rav Amar Poskin Daha Meshubala. So Rav says, is that okay? So Beis Din now starts selling off assets. And why? Really simple. Because the husband's obligated. That's what the husband signed up for when he signed up for marriage. He's not around. Okay. But if Beis Din can get a hold of any of his assets, they're going to sell them off towards this sheep, but towards this obligation. Ooh, Shmuel Amarin Poskin. Now Shmuel says no. Now, why not? So over here, within the position of Shmuel, the Gemara is going to give two possible explanations. Number one, my time. So Rav Zvid, Amar Eimar Tzrari Atfasei. So according to Rav Zvid, the issue is that, look, there is a possibility that what she did is that she took a bag of money, right? The bag of money, which is a concern that we've heard numerous times in this Masechta, and that is that because they lived together, because she was in the house, so it could very well be, and it could even be on his part, he wanted her to have a little more financial security, and he gave her some money ahead of time. And look, and now in retrospect, we can even suggest that he knew he was going away for an indefinite amount of time, and maybe he gave her some money. We don't know. So what we're not going to do is now we're not going to sell off assets of the husband when there is a possibility that maybe she has some money. That's one possible explanation of Shmuel. That's Rav Zvid. And Rav Papa Amar Chayshin and Shema Amar Tzi Masi Adecha B'Mizonosecha. Another possibility is as follows. Yes, he's obligated to give her Mizonos. But as we just went over, that exchange of Mizonos Masi Adecha can be declined. If she's interested, she could say, you'll keep your Mizonos, I'll keep my Masi Adayim. And under those circumstances, he's not obligated to give her Mizonos. So for two reasons, Shmuel says that we're not going to start selling off his assets. Either number one, we're worried that she already took a prepayment of she was given some money ahead of time, and so therefore what she's doing now is she's trying to double dip. Alternatively, the concern is that he's not obligated to give her mezonos because she declined. She simply declined on the mezonos. Okay. With that stated, with those two possible explanations of Shmuel, so nafka minus. The Gemara says, yeah, might be nayuka, be nayuka gedola velo safka. Inami safka, ketana vesafka. So there are two possible nafka minus. And I'll say the Rashi's outside over here. So Rashi says, nafka minus number one, gedola velo safka, meaning, that the wife that he left behind is an adult, and, the food that's provided for her is simply not going to be enough. Or the maisia daim, that she's making right now is simply not going to be enough. Meaning, look, gedola. Is it possible that she took money? Yeah, certainly possible. She's a gedola. In other words, she knows where the money is, and it's possible she took money before he went away. There's that possibility. However, if let's say that her maisia daim is just simply insufficient, would she have declined the mizonos? Of course not. In other words, she never would have declined the mizonos. So if we know that whatever job she has is not nearly enough to provide for her mizonos, so if you're going with the Rosvit approach that maybe she took money, that's a possibility. But if you're going to go with the Rapapa approach that maybe she declined her mizonos, there's no way she'd be declining her mizonos if her job is not really making that much money. Alternatively, the second nafka, I mean, it would be Ketana Vesafka, where let's say she is a minor, which means that most probably she did not take any money in advance. Generally speaking, right, he wouldn't be handing her a wad of cash if she were a katana. And on the other hand, however, her maisi adayim, she's making a good living, and her maisi adayim would be sufficient to support herself, and she may in fact decline. Now, this one's a little bit trickier to really explain, meaning she is a minor, so we're not concerned that he's going to give her some sort of prepayment. On the other hand, she's making a good living. Okay. All right, the second nafka mina is definitely a little bit hard to explain, but anyway, so where do we stand right now? Okay, so this is the setup for the rest of today's daf. And the rest of today's daf is going to go pretty quickly. And that is that, look, the husband goes away. It's after 3 months. She's asking Beis Din to go ahead and help her with the mizonos, sell off assets of her husband so she can get mizonos. And so Rav and Shmuel have a basic machlokas, where Rav says, okay, Beis Din's going to do that. And Shmuel says, Beis Din's not going to do that. Beis Din is not authorized to do that. Rav's position is easy to understand. It's a shibud. Shmuel's position is a little bit more challenging. So we have two opinions amongst the Amoraim how to explain Shmuel. Either concern number one, issue number one, is that maybe he gave her some money before he left. And what she's trying to do now is double dip. Alternatively, the other issue is that maybe she was making money. And what she did, she declined mizonos, which she's entitled to do. And if she declined mizonos, obviously he's no longer obligated. Okay, so because of these two possible concerns, Shmuel says, "Ein poskin la mizonos." Okay. Tashma, Tanan. Okay, so for the remainder of today's daf, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be taking a tour of Mishnayos Brisos, and basically all of them are going to push us in the direction of Rav, but we've all learned enough Gemara together, Baruch Hashem. Well, we know what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to defend Shmuel's position. Okay, so Tanan, Misha Lach Medina Siam Vishto Tavas Mazonos Chanan Amar Tishava Besof Velo Tishava Betchila Nechliku Allah B'nei Kohanim Gedolim V'Amru Tishava Betchila Besof. And so we go back to our Mishnah. And Adkan Lo Pligi Ala Le'inyan Shvua Aval Mazon Yavin Allah. Okay, so the only issue in our Mishnah is, of course you go ahead and you sell off assets so that she can have Mazonos. The only issue is when, if and when she makes a Shvua. That's the only issue. Okay. That is what's called a serious question on Shmuel. It's a kasha. So the Gemara says, Tirgam HaShmuel B'Shasham HaBoshameis. So Shmuel's of the position that, reporting is that he died. There was some reporting that he died. Shmuel says, under those circumstances, I agree you go ahead and you start selling off his assets towards her mizonos. Tashma. Gemara says, how about this? Let's do it this way. The Amar Pasakula Mizonos Neman. So here in the Braisa, so once again, the Braisa goes ahead and gives us the machlokas between Chanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim, but then the Braisa adds the following. If the husband comes along after some time and says, Pasakula Mizonos, before I went to Medina Sayam, and I gave her money before I went, meaning I knew I was going for a long time. Okay, and I don't know why she went. Well, she went to Beis Din because she wanted more, but whatever. I gave her, so Neman. So the husband now has credibility. So over here, and obviously, but then whatever mizonos she took, she will have to return and refund. Anyway, but hachanami b'shashama bo shemes. So the Gemara says, okay, kasha and Shmuel. Because again, the Braisa over here assumes, of course, we're going to sell off assets towards our mizonos. And Shmuel's of the position, we don't do that. The Gemara says that what we'll have to say in this Braisa is that we heard that he died. V'hayim ba v'amar kamar. The Gemara says, okay, that's a lovely ukimta. It doesn't work in this Braisa. In the Braisa, what happened? He came back later and he said, oh, before I left, I gave her money. Well, wasn't the reporting that he died? So the Gemara says, im ba la'achar Shmuel. The Gemara says, okay, there was reporting that he died. The reporting wasn't that good, obviously. He came back. Rumors of his death were somewhat exaggerated. So Tashma Misha Lachlamidinos Yam Vishto Tova'as Mizonos. So Imba V'Amar Tzi Masi Yadech Mizonos Zecha Rashai. Kadmu Beisin Apasku Masha Pasku Pasku. So here in the Braisa, again, husband went away. His wife is left now wanting food. She's asking for food. So if, let's say, the husband after some time says, you know, she declined her mizonos, so Rashai, meaning he's allowed to say that, and obviously he's no longer obligated to pay her. Kadmu Beisdin Upasku, but if Beisdin goes ahead and preempts and sells off properties, ma shepasku pasku. So what's sold is sold. And again, poskin. They go ahead and they sell off assets. So hachanami b'shama b'shamates. Shmuel, in his defense, it's the same move every time. Shmuel, in his defense, will say that, you know why Beisdin went and sold off assets? Because the reporting is that he died. Tashma mishalach lemedinas yam v'ishto tovas mizonos Beisdin yordan l'chan l'chasav v'zanin u'mefarnesin l'ishto avalo banav uvnosav. So Beisdin will sell off assets so that she will be able to be supported. However, only for her, not for the children. Remember the children? The husband does not have a shibud, an obligation to go ahead and support his kids. Now, you already remember that up until 6 years of age, so he has to support his kids outs their mother. After 6 years of age, there was Takanas Usha, which takes us all the way back to the midpoint of the Masechta, where we learn together that as a Takana, so he should be supporting his children from six until Bar Bas Mitzvah. After Bar Bas Mitzvah, he has no longer an obligation to support his kids. Good. So that is the Braisa. So Velo Davar Acher. However, not Davar Acher. All right, a nondescript item in which we're not going to be selling off assets for Davar Acher. Obviously, that needs an explanation. We're coming back to that. So Amar Sheishes B'Mashras Ishto Aideh Shlish. So the Gemara over here says, okay, so what happened is the following, and that is that there was a trustee appointed. So Yahachi Banav Venosav Nami. So the Gemara says that if he appointed a trustee to go ahead and support his wife, so why not the kids as well? So the Gemara says Kishishu Lazeh V'Lo Yishu Lazeh. He appointed a trustee over his estate in order to support his wife, but not to support his kids. My Pascha. So the Gemara says, that's funny. What? Meaning, if he appointed a trustee to support his wife, so why not appoint one for his children as well? And why would the Braisa make such an ukimta? So Alam Rav Papa kishashama boshemes be'ed echad. So Rav Papa says, okay, here too in the Braisa, what happened was that the husband was reported to have died. And here the reporting comes through one witness. And this takes us back to Yevamos. And we all remember that if, let's say, one witness comes and says that her husband died, so she can go ahead and get remarried. Obviously, with a big risk in that we don't have Shnei Edim, her husband may in fact not be dead. And generally speaking, in Halacha, we do not believe one witness, but for Edus Isha, we do. And so now we can explain the Braisa if this is in fact the case in the Braisa. So di So first of all, as far as her ability to remarry, so as we established at the end of Yevamos, she can get remarried. Now, if she can get remarried, she's also entitled to mizonos. Obviously, not after she remarries, meaning once she remarries, she can't get mizonos. But in other words, the two things are tied together. However, banav venos of di lamechas lanechas beidecha lamatzir nachte nami lo yavinala. However, as far as the kids are concerned, if one witness comes and says that their father died, that's not enough to divide the estate. In other words, we do not yet have proper edus to tell us that he died, and so therefore the kids are not going to be dividing the estate based on one, based on Eid Echad. Since they're not dividing the estate, therefore they're not going to be getting mizonos. Ah, so what Rav Papa did brilliantly is he explained how it is that there's a difference between the widow and the orphans. And again, I say widow and orphans, meaning this is all al pi Eid Echad. When it comes to the widow, because she could get married, therefore she's entitled to mizonos. In other words, because that's the kula by Eid Echad when it comes to the almana. However, when it comes to the kids, Eid Echad is not going to give them the Yerusha, and therefore, since they're not entitled to Yerusha, they're not getting mizonos. Ah, okay. My davar acher. When Beis Din goes and dips into the assets to pay for her mizonos, they're going to be paying for the mizonos, but the Braisa said, not davar acher. Now, what does that mean? We've covered this before. This is Chazara. Rav Chista Amar Tachshit, Rav Yosef Amar Tztaka. So Rav Chista says, cosmetics, right? Perfumes and things that make her look good. And Rav Yosef says, Tztaka. Meaning that if, let's say, this is the way Rashi presents it. Let's say there's an assessment that's made on the community and everyone's got to give money. So she's given a patur. She does not have to contribute to the assessment. She could get mizonos. Yeah, that's true, but that's for her. But in other words, what Beis Din's not going to do is that Beis Din will not allocate to her from the assets money to pay for whatever assessment is levied on the community. So man damar tachshit kol shekein. So if you're telling me that you're not collecting tachshit for her, so kol shekein staka. So for sure, we're not dipping into the estate in order to so that she has to contribute towards the assessment. And man damar staka va tachshit yavin ala delo nichalei titinava. But if your interpretation of Davar Acher is that you're not giving her money for the assessment, but in other words, but you would be collecting money for Tachshit. Why? Because even though the husband's away, but he wouldn't want his wife to be feeling insecure about the way she looks. Okay, so we would assume that if Davar Acher meant Staka, but in other words, but Beis Din would sell all for Tachshit. Okay, Tashma. We're on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, same topic. One topic for today. Once again, let's reset as we're on the Amud Beis. So we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Husband went away. We don't know where he is. She wants mizonos. She turns to Beis Din. According to Rav, Beis Din is going to be selling off his assets to pay for mizonos. According to Shmuel, Beis Din will do no such thing. Okay, and obviously it puts her in a really compromised position, but Beis Din will not be selling off her husband's assets. Good. And as far as the reason behind Shmuel is concerned, two suggestions amongst the Amoraim, Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Rav Zvid is of the position that we're not going to be selling off our assets because Tzrari Atvesay. She may have taken money, or he may have given her money before he left. We don't know. And she may be double dipping. That's one concern. The other concern is she declined mizonos. She's making money. She's doing pretty good for herself. She declined mizonos. So for those two reasons, so that creates enough of a concern that Beis Din will not be selling off properties of the husband so that she will be having mizonos. On the Amud Aleph of today, so far we've quoted a lot of braces, all of them pointing to the idea that of course we're going to be selling off assets, and Shmuel defended himself from every one of the braces. And for the Amud Beis, we're going to be doing the same thing. Tashma, meaning more braces, more Mishnayos, more braces. So as far as the Yavama is concerned, so that for the first 3 months of her being a Yavama, so obviously she can't get married yet. Remember, we need to establish paternity. So for those 3 months, she can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So now the estate, her husband's estate, is going to support her. And then the Mikam Ve'elech, but from that point going forward, now she's not going to get supported. She's in a limbo position right now. And it's obviously going to be a little bit tricky for her. But in other words, but the estate is not supporting her, nor is the Yavam have an obligation to support her, as he's not yet her husband. Now, Amad Bedin Uvarach. Now, obviously, Beis Din will not allow her to stay in this limbo position. So Beis Din will turn to the brother-in-law and say, let's go. Do your job. So Uvarach. And he wasn't ready for the responsibilities of life. So Nizonas Michel Yavam. So now under those circumstances, Nizonas Michel Yavam. So now at this point in time, the Yavam is going to have the obligation to support her. So this is now once again difficult for Shmuel. Shmuel tells me that we're not going to dip into the into the asset. So I'm lechashmul lamai nechash la lahai. So the Gemara says over here, meaning I'll tell you why in this case it's going to be different. Meaning my general position is don't sell off assets of the husband in order to support. But over here, what are we concerned about? What happened? Maybe she got some sort of prepayment. She didn't get a prepayment from a yavam. Her and the yavam are not that close yet, where the yavam's ready to give her a little bit of money in advance. And now, what about maisi adayim? Right, her earnings are in fact not yet mishubad to the yavam. They're not married yet. So over here, Shmuel says, yeah, we're going to sell off assets of the yavam, but simply because there's no concern under these circumstances. So Tashma. So her and her husband went away and she comes back. And again, this we discussed at the end of Yevamos. And she made the following declaration. My husband died. What did we learn back in Yevamos? She is believed. She's believed. So okay, so now that she has the credibility, so she can either get support as a widow, which she's entitled to. Alternatively, she can collect her ksuva. Now, Girishani Bali, but let's say she comes back and she says, my husband divorced me, and obviously she does not have the requisite paperwork to prove her position, but she says it. So, Ms. Parneses, Va'oleches, Ad Kedek Suvasa. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and dip into the husband's assets and sell off, and we'll apply it right now as Mizonos, but Ad Kedek Suvasa, with a cap of her ksuva. Because if, in fact, she is divorced like she claims, so the only thing she's entitled to is ksuva. She's not entitled to mizonos. Oh. So the Gemara says, so hachinami, kishishama boshameis. So once again, Shmuel, the kasha is on Shmuel every single time. So Shmuel, you told us that we're not going to dip into his assets. And over here we did. So hachinami, kishishama boshameis. So what Shmuel will do is he'll give an ukimta here in the Braisa. Honestly, it's going to be a difficult ukimta. And that is that we heard that he died. Reporting is that he died. Now, we're getting mixed messages, aren't we? In other words, the reporting is that he died. And what's her claim? Her claim is that he divorced her. Oh, okay. So so umayshna ad kedek suvasa, dihi da'afsadeh anafshe. So the Gemara says, now, why is it that we're capping the mizonos? Because of what she's telling us. Meaning, she's the one telling us that she got a divorce, even though we heard that he died. Now, parenthetically, by the way, both could be true. Meaning, he divorced her, and then he died. But in other words, the point is that the reporting of his death allows us now, this is according to Shmuel, allows us to sell off his assets and support her. But because she said she got a divorce, so what we're going to now do is that we're going to cap the support to the point of her ksuva. She's the one who claims that she's divorced, so therefore, as a divorcee, she's not entitled to mizonos, and that's why her mizonos is going to just simply be applied towards ksuva based on what she's telling us, and that's why her mizonos is going to get capped. Okay. Tashma. Ketzad Amru. Okay, the young girl getting married, the mamenes, who right now is married off either by her brother or by her mother. So under those circumstances, the husband's going to support her. We said that mamenes is not getting mizonos, not while they're married. While they're married, he's going to support her. So I'll give you the example in which she's not going to get refunded, and that is that her husband went away, and now he left his, saying this out loud, by the way, sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable, leaving his 11-year-old wife, to fend for herself. She goes to she goes to lenders. People are lending her the money, expecting, of course, to get paid back because he has an obligation to her. And then after she borrowed money towards her mizonos, now she did miyun to her husband. When he came back, she did miyun. So now because she did miyun, what did that do? It annulled the marriage. So since it annulled the marriage, it was retroactive. And so therefore he has no obligation to pay back the lenders. She does. Okay, so time of the miyun, halo miyun, yavinala. Okay, but that's all because she did miyun. But if she didn't do miyun, so what does that mean? It means that we're expecting we're expecting people to support her. So Amlecha Shmuel, hachla mai nechushla. So once again, Shmuel's going to tell you over here. Yes, yes, we're gonna dip into assets and we're gonna sell off for her mizonos. But over here, nothing to be worried about. Imushum tsarav leketan la matfis. What he won't do is he won't give her a prepayment before he goes away. She's a katana, and imushum maisi yadeh katana lo safka. And as far as maisi yadeh is concerned, so she's not making enough money towards the maisi yadeh where she's going to go ahead and start declining her mizonos because of the earnings that she's making. Okay. It makes the Gemara, I don't want to dwell on this point, although it's an important point. The Gemara has just told us that when it comes to katana, there's no way sure her earnings are going to be able to match mizonos. Meanwhile, in the Amud Aleph, when the Gemara gave nafkamin, it's one of the nafkamin of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, is that it's possible that her earnings can match her mizonos. Okay.
But that's Shmuel's principle. That's one of the, right?
Correct. Okay. My Havi Allah. All said and done. So we have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. We litigated this machlokus through numerous Mishnahs and Brises, over a half a dozen. And now, conclusion. So where do we stand? So, Kiyasar Rav Dimi, Amar Maisa, Ba Lefnei Rebbe, Bebe Sharim, Pasuk Lamizonos. Lefnei Rebbe Shmuel, Bitsipar, Velo Pasuk Lamizonos. Okay, so it's funny. When the Gemara says, My Havi Allah, the Gemara basically says, okay, I hear the machlokus. We've gone over the proofs, meaning we did the base medrash portion of today. Now let's do the halach lamaisa portion of today. And meanwhile, the halach lamaisa is, it's a machlokas. Rabbi says, Rabbi's holding a lot of Rav, and everyone understand over here that we're working backwards, meaning we're being presented the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and obviously that's after Rabbi, and it's after Rabbi Shmuel, but still, the point is that it's a old machlokas. So the Tanaim are arguing about it. So Toiba Rav Yochanan v'chi mara Rabbi Shmuel shalom pasuk lamizonos halo nechluku b'nei kohanim gedolim v'chanan ela le'inyan shvua av a mizoni yavinan la. So now a little review of what we did today. How can anyone argue with Rabbi? How can anyone argue with Rav? How can you not be posik mizonos? Didn't you learn the first Mishnah of the 13th Perek of Ksuvos? So Amalei Rabbi Shimon bar Abba k'far tirgam av Rabbi Shmuel b'bavo kishishama b'meis. So Amalei patrina b'kulei hai. So he says, you know how Shmuel defended himself? He gave an ukimton, the Mishnah, right? The only time we're doing so is when we heard that he died. Reporting is that he died. And basically, Rav Yochanan says back to Rav Shemin Bar Abba, I think that's a dochik. I think that's a forced way to explain the Mishnah. I don't buy the answer. He also, Rav and Amar Maisa Ba Lefnei Rebbe Bebe Sharim Velo Pasuk Lamizonos. Lefnei Rebbe Shmuel Bitsiporu Pasuk Lamizonos. Okay, in the second version, flip. Flip the positions of Rebbe and Rebbe Shmuel. I'm Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe Shlomo Pasuk La, Da'alo Nechluku Chanan V'nei Kohanim Gedolim Ela Le'inyan Shvua Aval Mizonos Yavinala. So I'm Rebbe Shem Member Abba Kfar Tikkum Shmuel B'Bava B'Kishasham B'Boshemes. I'm Rebbe Patrisa B'Kulei Hai. And here I'll just simply say see above, meaning same back and forth in terms of what about our Mishnah? Yeah, Shmuel interpreted the Mishnah. Yeah, I don't like Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah. Okay. V'Hilchasa Kavase D'Rav B'Poskim Mizonos Le'ishatish. Okay. And now the Gemara here concludes on numerous issues. Number one, we passing like Rav. Husband went away. We don't know where he is. He does have assets. Basin has access to those assets. Basin will sell off the assets towards the Mizonos. Meaning, the halach is like Rav. That's number one. Number two, ve'ilchazek kavasa de ravunam rav dam ravunam rav yecholisha shetamal labala eni mizonos ve'eni osa. Can she decline Mizonos because she prefers a maisei adayim? Yes, she can. Okay, that was also litigated earlier in the Masechta. Right, it's her option. She can decline. Number three, v'hilchaza kavasi de Rav Zvid b'kunya. And then the Gemara here goes a little bit off road on the third Psak Halacha. Not sure what it's doing over here, but anyway, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right? Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, talks about glazed kalim, and it was used for Yain Nesach. And can we reuse those kelim? In other words, Yain Nesach obviously is aser, but it wasn't cooked there in the kelim. It was just sitting in the kelim. And is this particular kli with this particular glaze porous enough so that as the Yain Nesach went in there, it got absorbed into the kelim, and therefore it can't be reused? Okay, so it's important to know what materials we're talking about over here. And needless to say, I don't know. In other words, I'll read the Gemara, and I, you know, I know basic definition, but whatever. So, bikunya, damar zvid, hani, mani dekunya. So when you have, it is earthenware, but it's glazed. And is the glazing going to go ahead and block the earthenware? Earthenware is generally viewed as extraordinarily porous. So when you put anything in earthenware, it absorbs even cold. And, but it has a glazing. Glazing is some sort of lead glazing. I think that's the way it's described. Anyway, so he's of the position that chivr ve'uchmi sharu. Well, it depends on what the color of the glazing is. So if it is white or if it is black, so then it's mutter. The glazing blocks any kind of absorption. However, you're okay, but if it's either yellow or green, so asiri, okay. And again, obviously, this would all work out a lot better if we knew what we were describing over here. Velo amaren ela deleis be kartufne, aval isle behu kartufne asiri. It's got to be a smooth glazing. If it's not smooth glazing, you see cracks in the glazing. Obviously, then what the ayin nesach did is it went through the cracks and it went into the kli cheres. And then you can't reuse them for, you cannot reuse them for kosher wine. Okay. Adkan. Good. Takes us to the end of today's daf. Extraordinarily easy daf to review. As in today's daf, there was one issue. Well, we finished up yesterday's daf at the beginning of today. If there's any surplus money in the Beis HaMikdash, or if the Gabbai Tzedaka has any surplus money, can we start playing around with that money, capitalizing on it, investing on it? Great, got some great buying opportunities. So it, take it, buy and sell on Amazon. Okay, so can we do that? Machlokes HaTanayim. So you have people who are intolerant to risk, and you have Tanayim who are very tolerant to risk, and it's a machlokes. And so the... and it's interesting, by the way, because the Gemara does not have risk as being one of the factors to consider. Now, I'm sure it's a factor to consider, but in other words, but as far as the Tanaim are concerned in the Beis HaMikdash, one reason why you don't want to do that is because ein anias b'makom ashiras. And as far as the stock is concerned, I need liquidity. I need the money available at any given point in time. You can't tie it up in investments. Okay. And I'll add that I'm sure risk is also a consideration. But anyway, that's what we ended off yesterday's daf with. And today's daf, one topic only. Husband goes away. She wants to eat. She is entitled to mezonos as part of tonight's tzuva. So can Beis Din go sell off his assets? Rav says yes. Shmuel says no. Gemara's conclusion is that we pass on like Rav. That's a really short version of today's daf. But okay, that's today's daf.